Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words and returned from the tomb. They told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women who were with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at all that had happened. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Church regularly, or you're among that elite group of C and E individuals, the morning is just different on Easter. It's hectic. It's a little crazy. It's unlike our normal routine. Perhaps you have visitors who have come to spend the Easter holiday with you. You're thinking about the great Easter feast that you'll have later on this afternoon. You've laid out your Sunday best, only to find that your pet has come along and christened it. All of that. And even the Easter worship is different for those of us who plan. It's hectic, right? Believe it or not, we're not quite this full on Sunday morning. And if you come back next week, it will be much easier to find a place to park. And the challenge is that, like Christmas, for example, the story we just heard is quite familiar. And I wonder, when I sat down to write these thoughts out and to share them with you this morning, how could any reasonable person possibly believe this? And so this challenge presents a unique opportunity. Because you see, I can't make you believe that the dead rise. But God can and does work through the Easter message to invoke an Easter faith, a faith of hope, of unlimited possibilities, of new joy and of new life. Now, of course, this reading that we hear from Luke starts with the obvious. Jesus is dead. And his followers assume that he's going to remain dead, because that's what the dead do. The women come to the tomb because that's where they saw the body of Jesus being placed the night before. And they come with the proper attire. They bring the shroud. They bring the spices. They do what you do when you respect the dead. This is what they do. And yet, they discover an empty tomb. And even with the pronouncements that shared with them, they don't jump up and go, "Hallelujah, Christ is risen." They leave terrified and perplexed, and they dash back to share with the 11 and others what they have seen and heard. And this happens after they have encountered two individuals in dazzling light. Now, I can spend time talking about these celestial angelic messengers. That's all well and good. But I'd rather focus on the message, if you don't mind, because the message they get without seeing the risen Jesus. You'll note that Jesus isn't hanging outside the tomb, waiting to greet them. In this scenario, Mary doesn't throw her arms around the feet of Jesus and proclaim him the risen Lord. There is no booing. All they have is the message that's been imparted to them. And they take that message and they bring it to others. And in that way, my friends, we find ourselves in the very same company as those women. Because you see, what we have is the message. Now, I suspect many of us have encountered resurrection in one form or another. But we need to be reminded that we do not look for the living among the dead. For he is not here. He has risen just as he told you. They are told this, and they cannot keep it to themselves. They have to go and, in essence, invite others to come and see. One would think that God would work through miraculous visioning and encountering, right? I mean, can you imagine CNN at the tomb, right? Anderson Cooper is there, right? All of a sudden, we're not worried about the Mueller report because we've got better news on this Sunday morning. It would be much easier for God to pull a big one on this situation. Right? But the message is what's important for us this morning, and any morning for that matter. But nonetheless, the message of resurrection, of new life after death, flies in the face of what we know to be true. The only logical response to such an incredible message is unbelief. Experience teaches us that death wins, and yet the Easter message is so radically different. It says that Jesus lives. And when such contradictory claims fly, we usually go with what we've experienced, don't we? Right? Not? I mean, if you're cruising down the road at 40 miles an hour and the speed limit is 25, and they pull you over and give you a ticket, you're not going to assume that you can continue to go at 40 miles an hour. You slow down. And when we constantly experience death as seemingly the end of life, that's what we go with. And yet the women are bold enough and brave enough and perhaps even frightened enough to go and tell their closest associates that something has definitely changed. Something is new. And what do the people respond with when they've heard this incredible news? They look at it as an idle tale, a crazy saying. The women must be overcome with grief. Right? Unbelief, though, does not believe mean that they do not believe. You see, there are no unbelievers. Everyone believes something. They may decide that what they believe is what they've experienced. Death is death, and that's it. Right? And yet here's where the Easter message begins to work. By challenging our certainties, by suggesting to us that what we think is normal is not the way it is at all. That we have been sold goods that no longer hold up after this day, after this resurrection. Experience teaches us that death wins. Experience teaches us that life is what you make it, and you better move fast because your days are numbered like the hairs on your head. Which always made me wonder how bald guys know about that. But the Easter message says something different. It is good news. It says, really? Death is death and that's it? How can you be so sure? Death is real, yes, but it is not final. It is not final. Death
is not the last word. In Jesus, life gets the last word. The Easter message calls us from an old belief in death to a new belief in life. And so Peter decides that he's got to go and see, because maybe, just maybe, this might not be the way it always is. Maybe this could be true. And so he runs to the tomb, and he peers in, and he sees nothing except the clothes folded on the side. And suddenly everything changes. He could not contain himself. I mean, it's Peter. You know how he acts. He immediately runs back to tell the others. And that's where this reading ends, with Peter discovering an empty tomb. No, Peter doesn't see Jesus. The women don't see Jesus, but they share the message. The good news is too good to keep to ourselves. So the message, the reading stops with Peter's amazement, but the Easter story, and here's really good news, goes far beyond, because God continues to challenge the certainty of death with the promise of life. So go ahead and tell God that you think it's outrageous to expect anyone to believe that Jesus has risen. Go ahead and tell God that you believe that death gets the final word. None of this is new to God. She has heard this all before. And he simply refuses to believe it. Why do you seek the living among the dead, God wonders? Through a living Jesus, I give you the gift of life. Why would you think that I offer you anything less? I that created you, I that called you forth, I that walked with you. You are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Why would you expect any proclamation less than this? Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.